All right. So, hi. I'm so glad that we are in this room together again. This is our second call, and we are going to look at this week's assignments and homework and everything that we've been studying in this lesson, which is all about the identity, right? So first I want to do a little bit of the logistics here just to get you guys clear onto what's going on, that the workbook, because I've been getting so many questions about it. Should I do the workbook now? Is it for later? Is it whatever? Remember, in the Zoom call, we will be dealing with the issues that came up during the lessons as you were filling out the workbook. So the grid assignments, the ones where you have to come up with your own something and write like the left side and the right side of the page, and there's some other ones that are more of, you know, if you tune in, let's say if you were a leader, what would it be like and so on. Those are more personal pieces that you want to start filling in your workbooks before the call. That way, when we're on the Zoom call, we get to go into it and I can actually help you. This is the coaching part, so that when you guys end up being, you know, the one who lifts the hand and then we're talking, then we can teach from that and you all can learn that way. So should you do all of the workbook before the Zoom call? Well, do some of it so that you actually know where you are and know what issues come up. You can do all of it if you can. If not, then you would revise it. In the way I see it is that after the lesson, you do the workbook, and then when we have the Zoom call, you have it already done mostly. And then through the download, you get more of information for yourself and more upgrades to your energy system and your brain. And then you go to the next level of this, which would be the rest of the week as you're integrating it, processing it, and journaling about it. And the more you do, the more it might change some of your answers within the workbook. That's why by the end of the week, we want to have sort of to make sure that we're done with the workbook lesson so that we can move on to the next one. So when I'm saying that by the end of the week, I want you guys to be, you know, looking at the completion of the workbook, I don't mean that wait till then and do it on the end. I mean that make sure that you do what you can prior to that so you actually know what you're doing, and then you get to that portion when you get there actually, okay? So that's the logistic part. Also, I have been noticing energetically watching you all how much friction is coming up between two different identities. The one that your soul is looking forward to helping you create, and the one that you have currently that has created the life that you have now. Which is why this lesson is very important in being able to figure out the details of your sort of selfhood, of this anchor point, the singularity that created the broadcast, right? Because remember that the broadcast identity, that's the singularity point from which the broadcast begins, right? You have studied that sequence, and the entire course is going to essentially hang on that sequence. So you really want to get that sequence in your conscious awareness, because that's what you need to be tracking. And in your homework, there actually is a portion where you need to be tracking it per each one of your answers, okay? The sequence I'm talking about is how the broadcast is created. It starts with the identity. It goes into beliefs and stories and what we tell ourselves about reality. That we will go into the next week or week after. And then after that are the thoughts that we're having about whatever it is that our story is, right? So we have the identity. Then the next step is the stories we tell ourselves that all initiated by that identity. After that, we have the thoughts that we're having related to those stories. And then from them, we have emotions. Those are our reactions to life. This is all in your lessons in there, but you might want to write it down again just because sometimes when I say it differently, maybe use a little different words and it clicks in better. So that's the sequence, that after the emotion is your external reality. This is your environment. So in a bigger sense, if we make it sort of about how reality is created, it's created by the broadcast from the identity. So the identity is something that then says, this is my story about the life that I am. And then after that, there are thoughts, after that, there are emotions, and after that, there is the actual materialization of that event. So for most people, this sequence is easier to see from the bottom up than the top down. What I'm teaching you is the entire sequence, and one of my superpowers is that I see it from the top down. But that is not a common thing. Some of you might be able to do that and it's just natural for you, but it's not a common thing. So if that doesn't happen for you, don't freak out and think there's something wrong. It's just actually, that's not how generally it works for most people. The way it works for most people is the other way around. You look at your environment and you see, oh, I have this thing and I don't like it. Now you have an emotional reaction, right? You're having a response, a reaction to something that you have in your life that you don't like. Oh, because of this, I feel bad. Or because of this, I don't like how I don't have this and now I'm miserable because I don't have it. Or I wish I had something else. Or it goes into some sort of an emotional response. And that response is pretty easy for everybody to recognize. We know when we're miserable, right? We know when we're upset, when we're angry, when we're frustrated. All those things are simple emotional responses. Now, what they mean is not as obvious as people think. We tend to think that they mean, and then we go through the thinking, right, into the story, and we say, oh, that means this story, right? So let's say if the story was, like if the identity is I'm not good enough, and then the story is, that no matter how hard I try, it never works out. And then the thoughts are, well, I will try, I will do my best, but you know, it's still not going to work out because I'm just not capable, or the universe is against me, or people are not trustworthy, or whatever the thought pattern is, depending on the person. Now, their emotional reaction might be, I am bad, you know, I feel sad, I'm a loser, I'm a failure, I give up, I feel desperate, whatever it is the emotion is. And then the external environment will be the trigger. So the trigger would look like, let's say they've tried something, let's say they tried to make something happen in their business, and then it didn't work out the way that they wanted to. It still could have worked out partially, by the way, but let's say it didn't work out to the degree that the person wanted it to. And then from that standpoint, the person immediately goes into, oh, well, that means I feel bad, right? So the emotional response to it didn't happen the way I wanted to is I feel bad about myself. I must be bad. I'm a failure. I tried and it just didn't work. So I must have done something wrong. This is now the thinking pattern. Because why do I feel bad? Oh, I feel bad because I've done something wrong. Because the belief is that if I've done something right, it would have worked out. So there's the black and white right and wrong belief, right? So now if we take that to the next level, the story, we see the belief. We just got to the belief from tracking it from the bottom up. The belief is there has to be the right and there has to be the wrong. And if I do the right thing, then it will work out and somehow the result will be what I want. So if the result is not what I want, according to that belief, means I must have done something wrong. So then we go back to the identity. What identity created that? Well, the identity that created it had this black and white view on reality. The identity had been indoctrinated with the idea that I am loved, accepted, and generally receive the universe coming towards me in a good way if I'm doing something right. And if I'm doing something wrong, then I don't. So you can see that's the identity that then created the story, which then created the thinking pattern, which then created the emotion, which then created the result that no matter how hard the person tried, they still won't get the result they want. And if they do get a result that's good, but not the way they wanted it, they still will feel disappointed or somehow diminished or compared to others and feel like, well, others are doing it, but I'm not good at this because of that pattern. There are no facts. There are only our beliefs about how we choose to label something. So we're not talking about like literal fact, like the door is closed or the door is open, or I'm sitting here right now talking to you. That's more of a materialistic linear time. But the perceptionally, there are no facts. So we make something or we rise it up to the level of a fact by us choosing to see it as true, as right, as whatever it is that we think reality is. And reality is the way it is because we say it is that way. So if, let's say you're trying something and it's not working, it's because you said that it can't work for you. which means if the identity is changed to, let's say, I'm the person who's going to be resourceful no matter what, then if something is not working, it's not going to cause the same chain reaction of I must be bad, I did something wrong, I need to hide, or whatever the defense mechanism is. Instead, it's going to be like, oh, okay, well, I'm a resourceful person, so I'm just going to try something else. See, like, for example, I'll give you an example from me. One of my identity points broadcast is I am successful. Now, to me, successful means not necessarily I get what I want, but that whatever the overall direction I'm going to create a movement that way, and I'm going to get support for it, and I'm going to get reflection from whatever I'm working with, and overall, it's going to work out. Not necessarily always the way I personality-wise envision it, because I understand that my personality can have smaller vision than the bigger me, but either way, it's going to work out. I literally don't have in my identity this thing about, well, what if it doesn't work out? I don't have that option. My identity is I am successful. So because I'm successful, I am successful. Does that mean there is no hard parts, or that something doesn't, you know, sometimes kind of feel like there is a friction? Of course it does. But it doesn't create the emotional chain reaction of I must be bad, I'm not doing enough, or I'm not good enough, somebody else is doing better than me, and all this other stuff that other identity would have created. Okay? This is what I mean by the power of identity. If somebody's identity is, for example, that I deserve to be treated with respect, then they will just be treated with respect. They literally will not attract into their world somebody who will personally disrespect them. They could attract or be around people who tend to be disrespectful, but it wouldn't be personal to them, because their identity, entire broadcast chain, would literally not allow it. Let's say other identity can be, I am loved by the universe, no matter what. If I do good, if I do bad, if I do something that worked out according to my ego, or if I do something that didn't work out according to my ego, I am loved anyway. That's an identity. Now, if person has partial of that, which is more common, I am loved if I do right, or I'm, you know, loved if I do something that works out the way I think it's supposed to, then you can see how that chain will end up in the end in the experience that as soon as something didn't work out the way the person wanted to, they actually will not feel loved. And not feeling loved translates into always being threatened. We feel absence of love as a personal and direct threat. That because love is a requirement for existence. So when there is not an inflow of love, it translates to us as I'm in danger. So considering how many people have this thing about I'm not safe, I don't feel safe, that's where that comes from. The safety issue is actually a love issue. And I'm using the word love because it's a common word, but maybe you can come up with some other word that translates better for you. But what I'm describing here, if I don't use the word love, is think of yourself as an individual singularity. Think of the whole universe as the rest essentially of everything, and you and it are one. So there's a dichotomy of I am one with everything and fully part of everything, not separated at all, I am oneness. And the other one, the other way, as in I'm a singularity, I'm an individual, and I am this way because, you know, I am the identity that I am. I create my pathway, my perception. Those two coexist. When they coexist, we truly feel loved. When either one of them is not there, we don't feel loved. And that always translates as I'm in danger. Either not enough identity is happening, too much oneness, too much dissolution. And then I'm not going to go into it, but that's a vertical belonging that's mistaken into horizontal belonging. And then we try to get that love out of people instead of reconnecting back. Or the individuality is not enough, like the identity. If somebody is the other way around and they have too much individuality, they would be selfish, they would be isolated, they would be so disconnected from everything, and then crave it, but not know how to get it, and then try to take it. So that's a typical negative electric. So you either have negative magnetic or negative electric. Negative electric is too much individuality, separation, and then almost like a violence, like wanting to get it and getting it at all costs, trying to get love. And negative magnetic is too much oneness, all dissolved, and then manipulating the oneness to try to get love to it, not realizing that what it needs is actually become a self. Negative electric abuses, attacks, and negative magnetic manipulates. They both are not harmonious, not one somehow more disharmonious than another. They both are problems. So if we go back to the identity portion, whatever the identity that you have is what then creates your external experience. There is no such thing that some experience happened and you didn't create it, because every experience is your perception of what has happened. What has happened itself, that just happened. That's material reality within this simulation. But what it created for you, as in your personal experience, your translation of it, your response to it, your reaction to it, your resonance with it, that is based on your identity, okay? So the chain that I've been talking about in your homework, I believe it's a page, let me see, where is it? It's a page 2 and 3. That's the portion where you have this grid where you would have to write positive and challenging something that has occurred in your life, and then what identity were you being. This is the part that I find a lot of people tend to get incorrectly according to what I'm asking. I mean, there's no really incorrect, correct, but let's say not following instructions. Following instructions is really important because there's a reason why I'm guiding you through the steps. So the instructions here is the identity that you were being that created. A lot of times what people do is they want to say an identity they want to be. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for identity you actually were. Because if you know what that was, you can modify it. Now, obviously, we're not looking at the one huge identity that you actually are. We're looking at little facets of the smaller portions of that identity in order to clean them up, transmute them, and modify them into a much more harmonious identity of what you actually want to be in order to create something. So, let's see. We want to look at those chains, right? And on a page 3, you would need to actually write the entire chain of what happened from the identity and then how that resulted in something that, let's say, you have as your actual experience, okay? So look at the chains that you wrote in there. Does anyone here has desire to share, or some revelation you had about it, or something you would like my help with? And we know to do the hand waving. Okay, Janice, you're unmuted. Go.
Hi, I actually just have a question. What is the difference between an identity and a belief?
Oh, huge difference. Belief is a story, and identity is the thing that creates the story. So identity is I am, and belief is and that means.
Oh, okay. I am, and then, and that means.
And that means that I always do this, or this happens like that, blah, blah, blah. That's a story. So I am, that's the identity, and then whatever we would normally put in that means, that would be your story or belief.
Mm-hmm. Because a lot of, when you were talking about the identities of I'm successful, and, you know, I'm loved by the universe, to me, I think of those things as beliefs, but the belief is more the story.
Exactly. The belief would be then, and that means this.
And that
That's
means.
That's why I was describing like what it means for me successful, right? Because it would mean something different for somebody else. They can have the same identity, but it would be completely different broadcast because the belief would probably be different, right?
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Yeah, great question. Thanks for asking. Okay. Any other hands I'm seeing here? No hands waving? Nobody wants to share? Diana?
Yes, I guess I went through that process with a messy life that nothing's not
nothing's finished because of lack of time. And I was, so I thought, I didn't feel really good about that process, like something's wrong with me being the belief.
Mm-hmm.
My belief, there's too much to do, and I'm powerless, and then overwhelm and frustration.
Mm-hmm. So if you put that into a chain, so you can clearly see what happens, the frustration and overwhelm, that's your emotional response to my life doesn't look the way I'd like it.
Right.
Right. Then if you go one step up, the thought pattern, what was the thought pattern there? I'm not good enough, something wrong with me. That's a thought pattern.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Thought. Okay.
Yeah, it's important that you kind of compartmentalize a little bit in your mind as to what's what, because that helps to track it clearly. Oh, that's how I'm making this happen. None of that is real. Your life is perfect. So if your life looks the way it looks, is because of this. So understanding this then can change the whole perception of what is, right? And then it will modify what actually is. So let's look one more. So now we looked at the thought pattern, right? And the thought pattern was?
Not good enough, something wrong with me.
Something wrong with me, great. Now go up one more to the belief, the story. What story are you telling yourself?
Go up one more to what?
To story, to a belief.
Story.
From the thought pattern, one up.
Okay, so I said there's too much to do. In other words, like I guess I'm...
You're going back down to emotional reaction. Go back up. Yeah. What's the bigger part? What do you have to believe in order to feel that you're not good enough and you just somehow something is wrong with you? What would you have to believe?
Oh, what is my belief? Oh, well, I thought it was that something's wrong with me.
That's a thought pattern. So the belief would be that if my life... I am good person, balanced, harmonious, whatever, if my life looks certain way. So if my life doesn't look that way, that means I'm bad person or whatever your translation of that would be.
Okay.
That's the belief. So now one more up to the origin. What identity did you have to be to create that? You're doing great. Yeah, you are. So what identity would that belief would have originated from?
Identity, I guess it's a social conditioning, maybe?
Well, that's more of why it formed than how it formed, but we're looking at who is it.
Who is, judging?
Yeah, so it would be, I am what? Identity always starts with I something.
I am not, okay, I am.
I would guess it has to do with enoughness.
I'm failing, I'm not loved?
It would have to do with enoughness. Like, I am enough when I accomplish.
Okay.
I am enough if I accomplish. That's the identity. Which means as soon as you stop accomplishing whatever your ego personality thinks, you suddenly everything collapses.
Okay. The condition of being enough.
Condition of being enough linked to accomplishment as the... way to get the enoughness instead of enoughness being self-created.
Okay, versus enough is versus always.
Exactly. Instead of saying I am always enough if I accomplish or if I don't accomplish. If I don't accomplish, it just simply means I'm going to figure out what, you know, didn't happen the way I wanted to, why, and then work on that. No problem. But I am enough no matter what. But instead it goes into, oh, no, I only am enough if I accomplish. Which then creates all that chain of events, which then leads into, I'm so frustrated and overwhelmed and disappointed with my life because accomplishment didn't happen. See, that's the result, the environment.
Yes, it does. It does. So, okay. So the identity is I'm not enough unless I accomplish.
Yep.
So I could almost have all those identities. I'm not enough unless this, I'm not enough unless that.
In your situation, probably.
It's just after the if is all I have to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I have, I think that this might be related is I don't understand why I'm supposed to be a connector as my primary.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't match that whatsoever. And I only could see a glimmer of a few of moments in my life, but that is so strange. So I know you couldn't have made a mistake. I mean, maybe I answered the questions incorrectly.
There is no such thing as answering questions incorrectly.
Well, I mean, maybe I was deluding myself because maybe I'm not a connector. I don't know how to explain.
Well, you have the wound of the connector about not being smart and then trying to compensate all the time. So that fits very well. You also get into overwhelm about the details, which yes. also fits very well. So there's all those pieces of the connector. And connector, there are different kinds of connector. Everybody think of a connector immediately like a total extrovert who chats with people all the time and like networker on steroids. That's just one of ways, I guess, that it could look. But there are connectors who are introverts and they connect deeply to one person who like to connect and then kind of deepen in and figure something out with one person. They try to help one person. Connectors are also not necessarily like you think of it in a human sense. That's one way. But connector is connecting energy first, which is usually applied to humans because it makes sense, as in talking to people. But connector could be somebody who connects a lot of information, connects the dots. If somebody's looking for something, connector would be able to say, this, but I've also read it over there. And then there's this magazine that had that. And by the way, I have this article. That's also connector.
Okay.
So I think you actually are a connector. You're just not a typical extroverted one, which okay. is why it maybe didn't translate directly.
Okay. That's very helpful. I connect with the grandchildren. I connect with children.
Yeah. You connect just different people. All right. So, great. We're going to move on. Diana, thanks. Guys, keep the chat to a minimum. There's all this talking going on in the background. Please don't. If there's something that you need to tell me, I see the chat, but don't talk to each other, please. Okay, Dasha, you were next.
A small tiny question. Can one be a bad connector? I mean,
there's no such thing as a good or bad anything. There is a different way, right? Like for example, let's see, what would be like ruler, since I'm the ruler, right? So you can be a ruler that is very obvious, like forward leader, but you can also be a ruler that if people say, oh, she's a ruler, wow, like she's not a leader in a sense that she does not lead people, but that person might be creating some sort of a technology that is organizing something and then building an empire with that. That would be a totally introverted, non-human related leadership of a ruler, let's say. So the same thing with a connector. There are different ways of how that can show up. So what are you asking?
Well, that was my question. So you can't really fail at your function. Like this is your description. And I was just like, I know, it's not really a question. I was just thinking about it the other week and I just got myself into this whole thing. Anyway, so you will be, let's say, let's choose a connector. You will be a connector no matter what, because this is your modus operandi. You can just emphasize more your challenges or your not use your strength enough. Right?
Exactly. And there are different kinds of a connector. So you would then look at, okay, what kind of a connector I am, instead of trying to match it to some idea of a connector you already have in your mind.
Got it. All right. Great. Thank you very much. Okay. You can mute me.
Mm-hmm. Remuted. Anybody else waving at me? Andrea.
I just have a quick question. I think you talked about this last time, but how does the identities it for this exercise relate to our abundance personality types? It seems very directly correlated.
Exactly. And so, I think you even have that somewhere in your homework. Part three, current identity mm-hmm. stories.
So yeah. when you're trying to, because it does seem like the challenge is trying to trace back this external environment to identity. That's the challenge here. But is it a way to filter it by thinking about, okay, here's my external environment piece, either positive or negative. how does that match up to my identity, strength, or weaknesses? Can I see?
I would do it the other way around. Okay. Because if you do it this way, you will end up kind of trying to match it into your identity. I would do it the other way. I would do it more directly, like I just did with Diana, and then look at, okay, now that I have this, let's go look at which type is it represent. I think I even did it in that order in the homework somewhere when I had you write. I think I did it in the stories in the where I had two stories to write and then see how that matches your types.
Okay.
So yeah, it's a very good exercise to do because it keeps reinforcing like, oh, that's where I'm not doing it. That's what I'm doing. Because once you see it so many times, every identity will still kind of, all roads lead to the same issue, which are the challenges of the types. When you do that, then you start to notice it without having to do all those chains. But at the beginning, you do want to do the chains in order to see where you're going.
See where you're going. And then my other question may not be germane to today's conversation, but as you're talking about how everything is a pure reflection, we create everything.
Right.
How do you rationalize that with that everyone has their own separate? So how is my identity and my broadcast bringing me the experience of what someone else is doing, and yet they have their own thing? So
because you will be a different identity than somebody else. So, I mean, we all know if, let's say, there's something happened, two people watch the event, they would have very different perception of the event, right?
Right.
Unless there's a video camera taping the event, but the perception would be very different.
Okay.
So the same thing with the creation. Imagine that applied onto creation. You created something based on what you believe. Somebody else would create that, but if their belief just a little bit different, their broadcast just a little bit different, their external and thing itself could look completely not like yours, even if supposedly you started from the same identity.
Okay.
Make sense?
No, that's good. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep. You are welcome, Andrea. Janice?
Hi, I'm sorry. I have a question on identity. Is I'm not worthy an identity, or is it I'm only worthy if? Or
I'm not worthy could be the identity, but then the person would be pretty much a slave to everything. Like, it just that if that's an identity, that's really psychologically a problem. So most of the time it would not be that extreme. Like, there would be some room left for I kind of am worthy sometimes, but not something. So then you would be chasing that something that to get to earn the worthiness. So if somebody has completely like I'm just not worthy period, that would be psychologically a disaster. That would be extremely difficult lifetime. So
then like I'm not good enough would, so it would be I'm only good enough when blah blah blah. Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, wave at me if you want to talk. Wendy, I gotta unmute you. Hold on, there you go.
So I think she might have answered my question.
You're echoing, so one of you mute.
That's me. Okay.
No, you gotta mute.
Yeah, John, you gotta mute so I can hear her without echo.
Computer. Sorry.
Yeah, the actual computer. Mm-hmm.
Done.
So I think you kind of answered it in this last question, but I just want to clarify because I'm having a hard time getting to the identity versus the thought. So I'm not good in it. For your example before, it was like the thought is I'm not good enough, but the belief was my life has to be going well for me to be good enough. So what's the question that I could ask myself to understand what the belief is up and above the thought?
Give me an example. What is the outcome? What's the environment?
Well, just like you were saying, like you said, I'm not good enough. I thought that was the belief, but
right. So give me your example from your situation. What would be the foundational portion and then what would be the emotional reaction? So let's build that chain.
Yeah. Well, I'll try to find another one. Mine is always, I'm not good enough in some iteration, but
which means it's probably identity, by the way. And the thinking just echoes that.
Okay. That's why you did a good job when I put down what I thought were my beliefs. You said those were thoughts and then you gave me a higher identity thought or belief, and I'm getting confused between the thought and the belief.
Well, as I said, the identity has to be I am something. The thought pattern is a reflection. So your thought could be, oh, if I did this, then it will work out. I'm not doing this, or oh, it would never work out no matter what I do. That's actually the thinking pattern. I'm not good enough. That's your own semi-logical conclusion based on the belief. See?
So the belief would be what?
That depends on the chain. Give me the chain so I can show you. Give me the example.
If something doesn't go my way when I'm putting effort, then the conclusion is, or if someone doesn't do what I want, then I'm not.
Well, those are all very different things. So that's why I'm saying, give me one example of something you want to build a chain back to the identity, please.
Okay. Let's do something different. How about I'm not worthy.
That's no. Start with the example of what is in your life. Let's say you're arguing with somebody, or you don't like something. Like, what would that be?
So let's say I'm arguing because I don't feel understood or my needs aren't being met.
Okay, so stop right there. Now, the external environment will be, I have arguments in my life. Mm-hmm. The next step up, the emotion would be what you just said.
That I'm sad or hurt.
I'm sad, I'm hurt, and I'm not liking this and whatever. Now, the next step would be what?
There must be something wrong with me, or I'm not worthy, or I'm not lovable.
Yeah, that's a thinking pattern.
Okay.
Now go into, not that I'm not lovable, because that's already a belief, but there must be something wrong with me. I'm always doing
this. Can't get what I want.
Yeah. That's a thinking pattern. So now the belief would be, and that means I'm not lovable. It will always be this way because I must be doing something wrong.
Right.
Okay, so now go back to the identity. What created that belief?
That's where I can't figure it out.
I am lovable if.
Oh, so it's always a I am something if.
Not if always, but commonly, yes.
Okay. So if I do this, then I get that result. And if I don't do that, that's why I'm not lovable.
Yeah, that's thinking already. So if you go back to the identity, it would be much simpler than that. It would just be, if they agreed with me, then I'm okay, I'm safe, or I'm lovable. And if they don't agree, that means I'm not. So then that the belief portion. So the identity would be based on that.
Okay.
All the details that you tend to give it, Wendy, those are already in a thinking pattern. Okay?
Okay,
did that answer?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I got to keep working it.
Yeah. It's a process. Don't expect yourself that you're going to somehow figure that out overnight. It's a process. Okay, Dasha?
Yes, I think I'm having kind of the same sort of conceptual difficulty. I think it's the same kind of for all these questions. What is the conceptual difference between thought pattern and belief?
Belief is something that is explanation of what your identity means. Thought pattern are more like little children that the belief has.
All right, can we put it?
Give me an example. I'll show you.
Can we? Is there like something that we can do without an example?
Nope.
Be brave.
Do an example.
All right. Okay.
Might as well help you figure out your own chain.
Oh, no. There are so many examples like it.
So let's pick one.
Fine. Okay. Let's say. Oh, that's a good one. Okay. Kind of sort of non-personal. We can all relate to that. All my friends are far away. Makes me very sad. Everybody's scattered.
Stop right there. Okay. So all my friends are far away is an external circumstance.
Yes.
And it makes me sad is the emotional reaction.
Got it.
The thinking pattern is?
The thinking pattern would be, I will always lose somebody.
Okay.
Would that be true?
Yeah.
There are many thinking patterns I imagine.
So what other thinking patterns would there be?
Okay. They're not really related to me. They're more like the world is made in such a way that friends leave.
Okay, so it would have something to do with I can't have what I want because the world is this way and because people leave and I will always lose somebody.
Mm, No, just more like, isn't it very sad that the world is this way? I'm not saying I can't have what I want. I could move to many places and make it possible to see everybody, could generate more money and be always in the jet plane and see all my friends. I mean, I could do something about it, but the world is such, no. Let's specify it. United States life is such that everybody's dispersing, right?
Okay. So, okay, that's a like thinking pattern. So now let's go to the belief.
Oh no, but so this is the thinking pattern?
It's a thinking pattern and a belief, you're kind of merging them. The thinking pattern would be that I can't have what I want because people are moving away because this is such a situation, everybody has a different job or different this and different that, they're living in different places and this is how America is. Then you go to the belief. The belief is that we have to be connected in order to feel good, but we're not. And then the identity is, I am loved and happy when I am connected and my friends are near me. So from that identity, you then end up with, and then I don't have what I want because of this thing.
I see. So if I wanted to classify it in my brain, isn't there like one rule that fits all situations? It's a thought pattern when blah happens. It's a belief when blah happens. Like, there must be something.
Think of it like when you have an identity and then it means that blah, 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 that's your belief about the identity. And the thinking, it's more like the children that belief would have. So this would be the everyday, the thoughts are more connected to the outcome already, not to the bigger picture. Thoughts are focused downwards usually.
Okay, so it's actually easier to start with the identity. If the identity,
it depends. Some people find that easier, some people not. I would say emotion and thought would be close together, and the belief and identity would be close together. Like if you want to psychologically kind of, one is looking up, one is looking down.
But I can kind of go sort of fluidly at this. I can start with the external circumstance, and then kind of work through the emotions. Emotions are always easy.
And they will naturally show you your thought patterns because you can have emotion without thinking, right?
The thought pattern. And then in order to separate the thought pattern from belief, I can actually kind of sort of intuit what would be the identity.
Exactly, that's the intuition is required there for that next step, right?
All right, okay, great, wonderful. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right. Anybody else waving at me? Amy, and then Hollis, I'll get to you next.
Thank you. This is more just a follow-up on that, which is very helpful clarification. Could a belief be that have to be connected to feel good, but could an identity, like the positive version of that be, I am always connected?
No, because that would be the very thing I said at the very beginning not to do. That would be you thinking what you should be believing or what identity you should have. That would be when we'll get to correcting and changing your identity. That's not the week we're in. Currently, we're just in the fact-finding mission. We're looking for what is it we have. So here you want to look at the identity you actually have that created the thing.
Okay, but I totally get it. I'm just trying to understand the... There's a world where we actually could have an identity that could resonate with the belief.
Absolutely. And then you're always connected. And then it doesn't matter if somebody's living on another side of the planet because, hey, they're still on the same planet and we have internet. So there's no pain or sadness about them not being near because you believe that you are always connected and your identity is I'm loved anyway. My friends are with me. Yeah, it's possible.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, Hollis, you're next. Am I saying your name's right?
Hollis? Hollis,
okay.
Okay, so I'm going to start at the beginning and maybe edit me as I go. So I think that I have the identity as I am not lovable just as I am. And then a story that I built up would be, and this is related to my addictive patterns, so I need to be altered somehow to be accepted. Mm-hmm. And then the thought would be like, I need alcohol, I need coffee, I need this, I need that. Mm-hmm. The emotion would be anxiety. Mm-hmm. And then, but that's kind of where I just feel like I have anxiety all the time. That's like
exactly. And then the outcome would be that you go for whatever drug of choice would be to fill this anxiety to try to fix the anxiety. So that's the typical trying to fix the behavior without changing the identity. But you're totally correct. You did the chain perfectly.
So this is kind of the one thing to all my problems. Is it like that's yep. it?
Yeah, and then there's probably sub-stories and sub-thought patterns to that little thing too. Like you name one major one in there, but there's probably little other ones, like let's say, and that means they are, like when it's a projection, instead of I, it goes on to them and so on. Those are also stories. And then other people can become the trigger for the addiction to activate and so on.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, you are welcome. You're very welcome. Okay, I can't see where you are on the screen. Juliana, there you are.
I have more general question for the purpose of the course. Since there are so many subsets of sequences that come off, do you want us to kind of boil down to a main one for this?
It will end up happening. I'm not necessarily asking that directly because somebody like you can do it like that, but that's not a common skill. So let's just say that's awesome. If you can do that, most people will get there naturally by just following the lessons.
Okay. I just wanted to check because it sounded for a minute there like you were saying, oh, gather up all those. Because to me, it's almost like the concept of I is gone. And now there's just so many stories and they almost seem so separate. It's kind of like, why bother when this is the issue? So you want to just stick with the issue and let the subsets go.
Well, it depends on a person. And in your situation, yes. So if okay. I'm answering this personally to you, then yes. But okay. for different people, depending on where they are, no, for some people, it's actually very beneficial to look at all the subsets.
Okay, and myself, to see them, but not get too followed, like don't write a sequence for every single year for years.
Yeah, and it's, I'm not asking for everyone. I only ask okay. for three or five or something. So okay. main point is to understand we create particular things that trigger us, right? You don't want to write a sequence about, let's say, you know, I like my house, so why do I like my house? Because the house is not a trigger for you, so then why would you bother with figuring out the sequence necessarily, unless it's a practice right. to learn. But once you notice that, okay, there's certain few that always get me, like whatever we get triggered about externally, that's the sequence you want, because those are the ones that all roads will lead to the same place. It's just, Juliana, you might know exactly where that is, but for most people, they might need to do more work to get there.
Yeah, so on our one that we pick for this course, or two or three, is it kind of like that lifetime you're pretty much
we're only focusing
in
on this lifetime?
Yeah, this lifetime.
Yes.
For each lifetime, we're pretty much bringing in one, and it seems like they're all connected to the whole separation concept.
Well, that goes right back to the three types. I mean, they are karmic. So you brought in one pattern that shows up through those three types in a particular way, and everybody does.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you. That's
yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. I wanted to, there was somebody else I saw that I didn't, I think it was Mira. Let me find Mira. There you are.
Thank you. Every single example so far was negative, but I wanted to look at the pattern through the positive. And positive, I was listening to everybody and it came to my mind, for example, environment. I live in sunny Florida. It's positive. The emotions, I miss Minnesota. I miss the state where I lived for 40 years. I'm sad that I don't have the old environment. That I like my new, but it's some sadness. Thinking, I did the right thing that I moved, and then did I really did the right thing that I moved?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of going through this right now. I did not think this, but going deeper, I kind of feel suddenly all of this. And belief system, I was stuck there and I needed to move. After 40 years, I was stuck in Minnesota, and the identity, I retired. I'm so old and I cannot stand this identity.
You got all, of course, there at the belief and the identity. Up to that, you were doing great. The identity and the belief were off. So if you look at the belief pattern here, it would be more about familiar patterns and how you as a person feel within the community. Like you are respected, you are seen a certain way, people know you, there's, you know, like your reputation, whatever we want to call it, is certain way. And you were looking to have that and yet have a more opening. So the belief there has something to do about that it takes, the reputation is required and very important and takes a while to build it. And it's a balancing act between having the community that supports my reputation versus having something new where I have to build that all over again. And then the identity would have something to do with who you are in reflection to the community. That's why it's sadness in the end, because the sadness comes from if I'm seen by the community a certain way, then I am fulfilled. So if I'm not seen, or if there's not enough community, or if I don't have something the way I want to, then no matter how beautiful the environment is, it still feels a little bit sad because there's a part of me that misses the way it was, which felt like I had that part fulfilled, even though I have outgrown it.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good example there. John McKee.
Hi, Dania. I thought of this question today because someone else brought it up. I didn't know if it was appropriate, but how does addiction affect all this? I mean, that's really...
No, it's the same thing. Addiction is simply the outside behavior. So if you say addiction is the outside behavior, then my emotion is anxiety or overwhelm, and that's why I need whatever the drug of choice is. So then the thought pattern would be, I'm certain way, and if I don't have that, then I'm bad, and then I feel bad about myself, and then I need the addiction. So then you go one more, the belief, and then you go one more to identity. Exactly the same thing.
Okay.
Make sense?
All right. Yeah, no, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. Let's see. I think I would like to move off this one. I think you all understood by now what we're doing, so it should be easier now looking for your own stories. What I would like to do is literally go into the stories. Don't remember which page it is. I think it is on the page 5. There it is, page 5. You have list 2 major stories that you made up as a means of protection for yourself from something that was emotionally painful to keep yourself safe. And then the next question is how each story is connecting to your types. One comment here is that it might not connect to all 3 types. You know, like I've done this for myself. I do everything I do for you for myself first, just so I know that it works. And I do it for a couple versions of it just to make sure that every personality could be covered. And it doesn't always have to be that all 3 of your types immediately fit into all of those stories. It could be only one main one or maybe 2. Sometimes it's all 3. So just don't feel weird if you only got, let's say, 1 that connected. So I'd like to look at that. Now, the stories that we come up with, they are always there if they're negative, because we are protecting ourselves. Okay, so if you look from the standpoint of, just if we really simplify, like a hero or a villain, right? You can be your own hero or you can be your own villain. Story could be uplifting and empowering and amazing, or story could be putting you down. Either way, it will be a story, okay? So unless you're ascended master and not incarnate on earth, then yes, there are no stories and you're just one with God. But until then, there are gonna be stories. If you're here on the planet Earth, there are gonna be stories. And it's a conscious choice to have more empowering stories about ourselves versus where we are own villain and we hurt ourselves and beat up on ourselves inside our own consciousness. So what we're gonna do this week and the next weeks is a lot of it would be about detangling those negative stories so we can finally clean them up and then eventually replace them with the positive ones. But it is essential to know your negative stories because we trick ourselves so much. We go into this thing like, well, it's just this way. Like, I will work on this, on my behavior over here, but this, well, it's just a fact. It's just this way. I'm just a sensitive person, and that's why I can't do this. Or I'm just, you know, I was taught this way, and this is just, I'm an integrity, so because of it, I just can't do that. Those are all stories. All of them are perceptions, and if the result in the end is not what we want and it's not in a harmony in a sense, that's a proof that the story is a defense mechanism type. So that's why I wanted you to find two major stories in your life. Not every single one, we have hundreds of them, but two major ones. Like if you think of sort of your own villain, the part of you, or even how sometimes a hero. I've seen a story where a good example would be somebody who, you know, I'm such a good person. There's always room at the table. Everybody's welcome. I'm always going to help, whatever. And that person was nurturer on steroids, overgiving everything, having not a penny to her name and feeling miserable and constantly taken advantage of. So that's an example of a story she made up that in her mind was positive, when actually was a total villain that was essentially hurting her. So we want to know our defense stories. And sometimes they masquerade looking very pretty with a bow on top. And sometimes they look like they got fangs and they really hurt us. But either way, they're still stories. And we need to not be afraid of our own monsters. We need to pull them up, put a flashlight on them, look at that monster in every detail, classify it, which species it is, put it in a jar, and then create our own amazing new story. So before we get into all the new stories, which would be further down in the course, for now, I want you to look at your major stories and how it connects to your type. So I would like a couple of you to speak up on what is the story you figured out that is your protective mechanism there from something that emotionally happened. That was, you know, hard, and somehow you're trying to change it. You know, like for me, my story would be, let's say, being a child that's very different. When I went to kindergarten and school and everything, I could never relate to anybody. So I had to learn really hard to figure out how to translate what I do into something. It actually became a positive story. I became my own hero, because I've learned a lot of things that now I can teach you instead of saying, well, there's a green cloud over here and there's a yellow cloud over here and that vibration, can you hear that? That's what you need to change, which of course nobody would ever understand. So I had to learn to use terms that people would understand to translate my uniqueness into something that people could understand. That's a story though that could have gone really negative. I could have decided that means I'm defective, there's something wrong with me, I will never be understood and so on. And then utilize that as a means to hide, let's say. So then becoming a hider, the identity of I'm hiding all the time because people can hurt me, because people can't understand me, and what they don't understand, they judge, and then I hurt. So that could have become a very negative story. See? That's how we make our stories. So I'd like somebody to speak up on the story that you found out and how that links to your type. So wave at me, somebody who hasn't before. All right, let's do Christy. You disappeared. I can't find you again. Where are you?
I'm here. You can hear me, I think.
Yeah, I can hear you. I just can't see you yet.
Okay.
Oh, there you are. Now, everything got rearranged. All your faces got reshuffled completely in a different way. Okay, yes, Christy.
So my story is about money, and that if I become financially wealthy, well, I always think that I am okay how I am, but if I want money or have material things, there's a whole list. I'm a bad person. I won't be liked. I won't understand the struggles of other people. I'll be outcast. I'll be arrogant. I'll be an elitist. I'll be judged. Okay.
So
all
what
that.
All that is protecting?
Well, it's about being a part of a community. So it's the alchemist. The money judgment, unfair relationships, the nurturer, and then the ruler. But the only reason I rose my hand is because this morning I had an interaction with somebody and they were saying, what do you miss being isolated? And I said, I miss massages, and they'd call me spoiled. So that would just reinforce the story that having a massage is a luxury that only the outside people have. Does that make
sense?
Isn't
that interesting?
I know, that's why I spoke up.
Yeah, I had exactly the same thing, and massage for me is my thing that I do. So the very thing, I had somebody ask, what do I miss? And I said, massages. And the person said something like, you know, it's nice to have luxury in your life or something like that, which was a judgment. And I said, oh, isn't that interesting? I consider it a necessity.
I responded with, I'm not taking away, because they said most people can't afford to pay their bills right now and all this other stuff. And I said, I'm not taking anything away from them. I'm just telling you what I miss.
Yeah, but that's
so I feel like I shifted
in there. It's a better answer than what it probably could have been. Knowing the past. So yeah, this is awesome for you, totally. But just pointing out there's a little bit of a defensiveness there anyway, because if you look at the origin of the story, right, the identity, I have to be one with others all the way. And if I'm different, if I stick out, if I want something that they don't or they don't have, but I'm able to create, now I'm excluded, I'm rejected, I'm not part of everything. So the identity is the nurturer there, and I can only be part of if I, well, kind of like communism, if I have nothing, like let's share everybody and then we have all together have nothing, versus let's each be unique and have something that we actually want. So that's the nurturer and the negative in there. Good, that's a great catch there.
Yep. Bye.
Okay, Christy. Let's see, anybody else would like to... share their story. Lisa.
So I couldn't figure out how to, what my second story is, although I think it ties to the first story. My first story is really easy, which is I can't let myself shine because I don't really matter. I'm not special. I have nothing unique to offer. Okay, I got that. That's nurturer, alchemist, romantic, all wrapped up into one. I got that one. So the second one though, which I think is a spinoff of that, is like, I have that, like I have to do it right. I have to sort of be
perfect. That was the one I was going to suggest for you, the right.
Yeah, that's the big one. Like I have to do it right. I have to be like present perfect. If it's, especially if it's like public, probably in certain other private circumstances too, but definitely the public thing. So
that's an easy one. It has to do with the weakness of, like, if you show weakness, somebody will pounce on you.
Okay, so but how does that tie to, because I was trying to figure out where that, yeah, so I'm going to get judged and just and then obliterated, and I obliterate myself. I get that part. But if it ties to, I was trying to tie it to the three, the romantic, I was thinking like the romantic, like things have to be a certain way, or like the beauty of that, the nurturer, sort of like the be nice, like I always have to, but that I don't quite see how those relate, or maybe, and the alchemist, the loss of confidence part for the alchemist I get, but I'm not really sure how, which it
it's
relates.
It's the alchemist, because alchemist. The alchemist, yeah, absolutely, it's the alchemist wound. Okay. Anytime you think of an alchemist is about being unique. There is nothing about alchemist that is like everybody. So in a sense, it's really interesting to have alchemist and nurturer, because nurturer wants to be like everybody in a sense, and alchemist wants to not be like everybody. So it becomes two slightly friction forces, which is not a bad thing. It just, it forms the personality, you know, like I have accumulator and a maverick. I mean, they're two opposites too. Right. So it creates certain friction, but it's, it can make the life more interesting. So anyway, it's an alchemist wound, Lisa.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. And then I have the flip side for my soul archetypes, which are alchemist first and nurturer as a sporting. So I'm real clear which ones I'm trying to work out this lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be definitely an alchemist, because as an alchemist, well, think of alchemy. Alchemy, like if we translate that as magic, is magic perfect? Does magic always work out?
Okay. That's
when you do magic, does magic have a rule as to this is the right way?
No.
right?
Right.
So magic is magic. You kind of go for it, and then sometimes it's poof, and instead of a rabbit, there's a charred little carrot, and sometimes there's a magical fluffy rabbit. So you kind of have to, like, be okay with a charred carrot in order to occasionally make a rabbit.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
That's a good solution for me. For
perfectionism
that.
And an alchemist, like, charred carrots must be part of the story.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. All right, any other hands I see here for the story before we move on? No hands. John McKee, yeah, go.
Okay. All right. Yeah, a lot of good stuff today. So in my story is, I just wrote, and I'll just read it the way I wrote. In my most recent work experience, I told myself that they were the problem. I couldn't handle more responsibility or structure, that I really didn't care. I wasn't smart enough. I was lazy, not good enough. Nobody understood me, and that I was smarter than most. If I helped people, I could feel better about me. And I was unappreciated, that I was indispensable. And I, you know, I was, as I was writing it, I was tying it into the types, you know, the alchemist, the nurturer, the romantic. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's, you know, to me, the ultimate idealist that they, you know, I always, you know, but that's how I made myself feel safe.
And so, how were you unsafe by your job? What were you protecting there?
Well, the part where I told myself I couldn't handle more responsibility, I didn't want to take on more. And so I told myself, you know, that I pulled back, I didn't do everything I could. So I wasn't perfect, which you just talked about with the alchemist. It's all
exactly.
about perfection.
Exactly.
Right. So
I think that's your answer right there.
Okay. Well, but that's the way I wrote it out. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, good. You got it. You got it. That's a good. Good story there. All right, one more person, and then I'm going to move to the next part. Any hands? Tatiana? Still muted.
Yeah, but it's actually waiting really hard, so maybe Juliana can go, because she had a hand too before me. I don't know if the rain's gonna stop. It's pretty loud.
I can hear you okay.
Okay.
I think we all can hear you okay, so go for it.
Okay. So how do I make myself safe if, as an alchemist, I did not choose money? So if I don't choose money, then the story is I don't have to be more public, more visible, because I already, you know, my thing with consciousness, because I already read people and all their traumas and trigger the shit out of most people, mm-hmm. as is. So if I go even more visible, even more public, you know what I see? You know what
Absolutely. I'm going? Yeah, it's yeah. a boundary protection. So your story is that if I hide, I don't have to make a boundary. I don't have to learn how to be self-masterful as far as when people project their crap to me, because I'm a natural trigger. I'm not going to take that. It's not going to stick to me. It's just going to be like a Teflon. So you start to be the Teflon. That's the nurturer wound.
Nurturer wound.
Yeah.
Basically, boundary, don't care what, yeah. Okay.
Well, it's not right. don't care. That's actually a very tricky thing, and I myself struggle with that. How do you care and yet keep a boundary? That's actually very hard when you get public, because the more public you get, the more crap people throw your way, the projections of all their issues onto okay. you. That happens, and it happens a oh. lot. So the identity has to be able to be strong enough to maintain the boundary to be the Teflon, so all of that bounces off and not take it personally, but at the same time, still care. Most people, unfortunately, choose to turn off their heart, so they stop caring. And then, yeah, it's a picnic. You can go and be very famous. But if you choose to keep the heart open, most people then choose to stay small because it's too hard. So if you want to still go and become more obviously known and at the same time, you know, have that, it's a thing to learn how to do.
And how does it then tie up to the money part?
The money part is linked to, if you're seen as the connector, you make connections. If you make connections, you get paid, in your case. And in unusual ways as an alchemist.
Okay. All right.
Make sense?
All right.
Yeah. All right. All right. Juliana, do you still want to go, or should we move on?
I think this is one that a lot of people have, so I was going to throw it out there. Okay. you kind of already mentioned the giving and serving. So I'm going to bring up a seen one, and uniqueness that you were bringing up is one of these. If I'm seen, I'm not safe. If I'm not seen, I'm not loved. Mm-hmm. So those two hit each other. And because of my uniqueness, I can't be either safe or loved in that case. Mm-hmm. So it's the same what Tatiana just said. Okay, you're coming out. So you don't want to serve to be enough, but you want to serve. Mm-hmm. You see where the twist is? There's exactly. like that so twist that, in
where,
there.
Yeah, that's where you would have to disconnect the if I, then I will get. That's the part that makes it into a story. We all have that, and it applies to everything. Anytime we have, if I do this, then I will either become lovable or get love or get money or whatever it is. So if I, then I will, that's already a story. So service, for example, if I serve and then I'm loved, that means it's a defense mechanism. So that means something there is trapped. It's not a clean energy. Versus I am loved, or maybe I have some issues with becoming loved, so I'm working on it. But completely separate from that, I choose to serve. Like I choose to serve no matter what. That's not linked to my loving or not loving, being loved or not being loved. And the same thing with anything else. Anytime something positive is masquerading as a good thing, like what Joanna's talking about, that's you want to separate them from, okay, the positive behavior I want to keep doing. Like let's say you want to keep being a caring person, you want to keep serving, that's awesome. But then you still need to clean up the issue that, you know, is linked to some sort of a trauma from the childhood. Okay.
Yeah. So in the childhood, you can talk about me if you want, or other people. If you've already established some sort of safety, like you know that you're not only safe if you're serving or giving or whatever that is. And then if you've established some sort of love without that, you're like, okay, it doesn't matter. You know, I had to figure that out just doing nothing. I couldn't do anything and I had to exist, right? So if you do disconnect all of that whole thing and you decide already that, you know, you're loved no matter what, and is that new broadcast sort of a percentage, like,
yeah, we will get really, of course, further into that.
Okay.
That's a legitimate question, but you're a little ahead because you're thinking like vision way bigger. But for most people, that's probably not applicable yet. But we're going to get there in steps. Yes, totally. It's all going to be there. But one thing I want to say is that when we have something that works and the result is not painful to us, we can just keep it. It means maybe it's a neutral to positive story. But when the result is something that we kind of internally not, it might be comfortable, but it's kind of not the right thing for me. Like it doesn't feel right. It's overall kind of
right.
Like, you know, you're squirming there. That means that you want to dig it up and look. And ultimate solution is always get it directly from God, source, universe. Like people are not part of the equation. We make that up.
Right.
Anytime we do anything horizontal, we end up in stories and issues. Anytime we go vertical, we're back to it's between us and the bigger us, which means we're actually creating. So we'll get to that further down the course, but good.
And so which one of the connector, accumulator, ruler, I mean, it looks like it's all of them to me. Do we really need to know which one it is?
You already know. It's the connector and the accumulator, probably. I don't think it's so much the ruler. But yeah.
Well, the ruler is enoughness, so.
Oh, yeah, there is enoughness, too. I guess that could be the ruler component, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so it's just
all. It could be parts of it. Not all of them would be directly. Sometimes it's very clear it's this one particular type. But, you know, it's a combination.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. So the last thing I want to do today is the business portion. And in the business portion, one thing I want to make a point here is that the ones of you who are not working on the business, just take the word business and replace it with whatever you're working on. It's totally applicable. So if you're working on love or relationship or whatever, connection with your spiritual guides, just translate that word in there and it would totally make sense, the entire module component on business. you can totally apply it onto the business. That's what it's actually designed for. But if you're choosing to do it for something else, just do that. It's still totally workable. So in the business portion on the end, we were looking at what is the biggest discrepancy. That's what I want you guys to look at. And who are you being versus who do you need to be? Those are the last two charts there on a page seven. Page seven. There will be, what do you have? Like, let's say you have a certain amount of money flow in your business, some structure that's stable or not, or whatever it is that you have. You're working too hard or too many hours, or you're not liking something. If it's not about business, do it about whatever it is that you're focusing on. It's fine. And then what do you want it to feel like, to look like? Again, don't write here the entire notebook about everything in the world. This is meant to be more like direct, let's say, like not enough clients. If you're, you know, have a business when you want clients, maybe that's your thing. So then what would you like? Well, maybe you want more clients, or maybe you have plenty of clients, but they're high maintenance clients and you want more higher paying clients and on a different level of work. Maybe you have an inflow of money that's very small compared to your expertise. So then you want to have something that showcases your expertise better and you actually get paid. So whatever it is that you guys end up with, this is the two things we're looking at, kind of simplified version. And then look at what is the main discrepancy. Like, what's the thing, if all those things you listed, maybe you listed 10 of them, what is the main thing that seems to be the problem? And it doesn't have to be direct one-on-one. Like, let's say you just did one column and then you did another not directly relevant to this one. You will see, like, let's say somebody can do everything in one column, like working too hard, not getting paid enough, blah, blah, blah. Like, there could be all this list. And on that, the other side, it could be, I would like to travel more. I would like to have higher paying clients. I would like to do more of what I would like in with my clients, or I would like the job kind of contracts that pay more, or whatever it is. And then you would see that maybe the main flavor is, oh, my expertise, it's not being showcased correctly, or maybe space for me, or whatever it is. So look for what that flavor is. And then the second portion is currently being and need to be. That's a really good thing to look at, as to, okay, to create all those things that were in the currently have column, what were you currently being? You know, let's say you were being flaky, or you were being disciplined. You were being trying to figure it out. You were being pressured, applying pressure onto yourself, or hurried, or whatever it is. And then, you know, who do you need to be? Not who would you like to be, okay? Because that's not doing this according to my instructions. It's who do you need to be? And need to be means in order to have what you have in that column of the type of experience you would like to feel and have, what did you figure out that you need to be? Let's say you need to be responsive instead of avoidant. You need to be present. You need to be self-disciplined. You need to be connected to the universe. Like, different things of what would you need to be for that to occur, okay? So I'd like somebody to give me an example of not all the things, but what did you figure out was your main discrepancy? And then who were you being and who did you need to be instead if you would like to have a different outcome? So wave hands at me, and it doesn't have to be about business. It's just in the business module part. Nobody? Should I start calling you? Come on. Somebody who has not spoken yet. Judy, let's do Judy. Okay, you're on.
So I'm a nurturer and a romantic and a maverick. Mm-hmm. And my business, I'm in the arts, and I worked with you with the entrepreneurial soul strategy. Mm-hmm. So my focus was to start an arts club, and I did a lot of research, and I was representing artists. But I have this feeling that because I'm a nurturer, I was taking care of all the artists and promoting the artists and not myself. Mm-hmm. So now I feel like I want to promote my things and not the other artists.
Okay. I would say it's not so much about who you promote, it's about what emphasis point is. You are making the other people somebody that you put forward, and then you're behind. You're just the technician, essentially, that puts that up. Instead of you're the brand, you're the forward, you're the one who has the style, you're the one that creates that, and pretty much all the money is in customizing anyway. So you create something that's custom for them, whatever, and then as that, you also have your artists who produce certain things that then it's part of your club. In other words, as a nurturer, you were putting all this other stuff ahead of yourself and you were behind the scenes. And none of that can ever work. It's the other way around. You have to be the forward one that then the universe responds to, because you're the beacon, right? You're going there, beep, 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 beep. I'm awesome. I'm creating this environment. You come to me and then you be nurtured. You be supported. You have this most harmonious space. I'll help you to find this most amazing artwork or whatever it is that you do, right? Like that would be from you. You're the broadcasting station. And then within your broadcast are all the other things, including the artists and whatever else you have in there. Does that make sense?
It does, but I think people were, my clients were confused because I was Judy Riley, J.W. Riley designer and making things, but then I also had other people's art and I was becoming the art dealer, and it, some people thought I was an art dealer, and then other people thought I was a designer. And I think doing this work, it, I like being a designer. I like creating my things with my name on it.
So do you see what the issue is here? Judy, you went into, they were confused. What they are is irrelevant. You were confused.
I was confused.
And that's why they were confused. Clients always respond to whatever we broadcast. So if you're clear, they, like, you didn't give them instructions. You didn't say, hey, I am this incredible designer. And within that, I have art. You said they reflect to you that you might be a dealer. And you went, oh, maybe I'm a dealer. I don't know. So you were confused and they were responding to the confusion. Hence the broadcast.
Right. So, right. For example, during the Boston Art Show, that was showcasing art, and that was a place to deal art and not so much my designs. It wasn't the format or place for it. Didn't feel right. And I could step in and I could do that, and it was great, and I felt very comfortable. But I think that I should really be my primary, I think I should be my own person, my own things, my own designs and collaboration. Yes, so that's where I am today.
Right. What I'm seeing here is the issue of interpretation. Like even this example, I went to the show and I was more of being the dealer. And I don't want to be the dealer, I want to be the designer. But you don't have to be a dealer being on a show. You can be a designer who's representing the work and you also happen to sell it. It doesn't make you a dealer. That's a conceptual understanding of who you are, which is we're back to the identity. That the identity was, I don't know who I am. And my external environment will determine who I am. Hence the confusion. Instead, I know who I am. I am the designer. And as a designer, I have things I sell. That doesn't make you a dealer. That just makes you a designer with stuff.
Right.
Right. So that's where the confusion is. It's in your interpretation of who you are being. Instead, you're trying to see that in the mirror. It's like looking in the mirror and who am I because of what the mirror is telling me. But people will always see you through their own filters. So they would label you whatever. And people do that all the time. But if you are a stronger broadcast, then you give them direction as, no, I'm actually that. And they go, oh, okay, she's that. It's a choice that how you right. see you. So, okay, you saw the discrepancy there, right? So the discrepancy was the confusion about who are you actually being. And it's good that you figured out that you want to be more of a designer.
Well, and as a nurturer, I tend to jump on to the person to support that person and put that before my own needs or desire. I mean, that's
exactly. And there is a way to do that as a nurturer in a harmonious way, right? I mean, there's a lot of nurturers here, and this is important sort of switch there. That nurturer is not supporter that gives themselves up. That martyrdom thing is actually the negative of the nurturer, right? That's the inner villain, right? So nurturer is meant to be kind of like an airplane, right? Put the mask on yourself first, then help somebody. So you have to be stable. You have to know who you are, what you're doing, generate wealth, and hold on to it. And then if somebody would like to have that yummy energy in relationship to you, you offer that. But you don't become them. You still remain yourself. You just offer that to them. So when somebody comes in and says, oh, I need this, you look at it more like, how do I support them in having a more beautiful something instead of let me forget about myself and just go and fix it for them. Right?
Right.
Good. You're getting it. Good job.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. All right. One more wave. Anybody? Andrea?
Now go, unless there's someone else. Who wants to go?
I don't see anybody so far.
Okay, good. I think I have a good follow-up. When Judy was talking, it made me really think of this because I wrote down a lot of currently have and want to feel based on what I'm doing now. But then I got to like level 4 or 5 and I realized that part of what I currently have is I'm not sure if I'm doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. And then the want to feel is I want to feel like I'm in my zone of genius.
Right.
So I feel like I could kind of like do well almost like bazillion things I choose to do, right? And so it feels kind of random that, I mean, it's not really random, you know what I mean? But it's kind of like...
Well, it's not random. And you and I talked about that when you do something that involves other people's structure, you end up becoming the supporter of that structure. And because you're totally awesome in being able to support and because you can do so many things, you end up very good at it, but you will be unfulfilled.
So that leads to the question, and this was so good to hear Judy's question, is how do you, so if I say I want to feel, I say that what I currently have is I'm not totally sure if I'm doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. And I say that what I want to feel is I want to feel like I'm in my zone of genius. Mm-hmm. How do you get from that to actually knowing what you're currently being and what you need to be?
Well, you're currently being the person who tries to do many things because then she's loved and appreciated. Mm. And who you want to be is a person who knows that she is a genius that's super capable and has the right to choose her own direction.
And then how do you feel what that choice is? If you really, because it feels, that feels very murky.
You asking what it looks like materially, or how do you feel?
How do you even know what it is you want to do?
Well, to that you'll figure out, and there are many different things. And I think you actually do know. So that would be also the
kind
identity.
Of.
Yeah. Like, for example, my identity is I know.
Yeah.
So that's just, so there's no, and, I don't know, let me figure it out, or what could it be? No, I know, period. Now, and, if my personality doesn't know in that moment, I'm going to dig for it, but I
okay.
know.
So that's good. So it's like you can actually start with the identity, I know.
Yeah,
even if you don't have the result, you can start with the I know.
Sorry. We're going to get to that in the
okay,
next
sorry. Okay, thank you. That's wonderful. Thank you
You're
so
welcome.
Much.
Yeah, you're welcome. I love to see you guys going ahead. It's so awesome. That means it's landing.
Eugenia, can I ask a question?
Nancy, there you are. I don't see you, but you're there.
Yeah, I know. And I raised my hand several times, but it keeps blanking out. And so I unmuted and started to ask. So.
I don't see where you are, but there you are. So go.
Mine is health. Okay. Currently I have something called MAI, and it's a Mycobacterium avium intracellular lung infection.
Okay.
And it's something I had like 5 years ago, only I have the cousin of what I had 5 years ago. Okay. What I want to feel and be like, because I'm like sleeping 12 hours a day and napping 2 hours a day, and I want energy, right? And so, yet I want to be self-responsible for my own healing and get the concept of understanding how I can do that with, because the, what, you know, Western medicine wants to do is 18 months of antibiotics, and that's just horrific for me. It just, I don't think it works. So, yeah, you're smiling. It's like, yes, I want this, to do this for myself. I want to be self-mastery in doing this.
Right, so you can see what the discrepancy is, right? So in one is I'm taking care of my body and I'm healing my body, and that means I don't have any energy and maybe even I have to give it antibiotics, which I don't like. On another hand is I have energy and I'm conscious and self-masterful. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay, so what's the discrepancy?
Well, the discrepancy is there is not the energy. And the self-mastery is maybe an illusion that I'm giving myself that, I can be in harmony with Western medicine, but maybe taking self-mastery and saying what I want to do about
it. Okay, if we look at who are you being, so in one place, the current thing, you're being the person who has a physical issue and has to take care of it and is unhappy about solutions that are presented.
Correct.
Okay. As the who would you like to be, you would like to be the person who is self-masterful and has energy.
Correct.
Okay. So if we look at that as an identity, it would be I have energy and I am learning through no matter what happens in my life. May it be physical illness or not. May it be antibiotic or not. May it be sleeping 12 hours a day or not. Either way, I am learning because I'm in self-mastery journey.
Okay.
See, that's the identity that then unites it. Then it stops being the dichotomy of either or. It stops being that whole internal friction of, well, I can either have self-mastery and be conscious, which, by the way, the story there would be that means I'm healed and have no physical problem, or I'm not healed, which means I'm not self-masterful. So there's a story there about self-mastery means perfectly healthy and healed. Not having self-mastery, you know, physical illness then becomes a proof of not having self-mastery. None of that is true. That's a story part. So the bigger picture would be I love myself and I'm on a journey of self-mastery. So anything that happens, I'm going to learn through it. Then, yes, you still have to make choices. I mean, that's unavoidable. Life is made of choices. So, yes, you still have to make decisions about how you choose to treat your body. But you take the pressure of all that, and then I'm unevolved away from it. Then it becomes just a choice.
Okay, and I think I've kind of decided, in, you know, what you're saying is that I choose to have a PICC line and have IV antibiotics for just a month, mm-hmm. and that's enough for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a choice. There's no right and wrong choice, and there are many factors. I mean, depends on the condition of the body, depends on the age of the body, depends on other factors. I mean, there's so many different things. So you can choose to do nothing, you can choose to do something, you can choose to do all the things that you're told, or you can choose to do something you research yourself. So that solution you come up with, that sounds like a good step, and then reevaluate in a month.
Okay. But
basically here as to what's applicable to the course here is the part about who are you being. So if your identity is I'm only self-masterful if my body is healthy, and if my body is not healthy, then the story is that means I'm not self-masterful. That's a lot of pressure on yourself. That's actually blocking the healing. But if the body healing is freed from that, and then what you are is the person on the path of self-mastery no matter what's going on with the body.
Because the stories from the family going way back into the lesson plans are, you know, if you're loved, if you're sick. If you're not sick, you don't get loved.
Exactly. So, and then you get secondary and tertiary, and they're usually layers.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, you got
okay,
it.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, you are very welcome. All right. I know we're going a little bit over time. I'm willing to stay a little longer. I don't have a client
Eugenia.
Offices. So, Dusty?
Hi.
Hi.
So, I mean, I feel like I'm kind of just really outside of my league here. Everybody's speaking in ways that I don't ever talk. And I don't know if I'm just supposed to sit back and try to follow along, because it's obviously not how I think on any level. So I guess I'm just wanting to know if I'm the only one in this group that feels like this.
Yeah, what you're doing right now is not a good idea. What you're doing is it's the lower self looking to create a morphogenic field with other people who also don't understand, so then you feel safer.
Okay.
That's not a way to go. What we want instead is to help you actually build your own chain consciously so that you understand what you are doing. So would you like to do anything like that? Would you like to look at any of the three examples, like either the story or one of the chains we were doing prior, or this who are you being portion?
I would, but most of the stuff that I had not completed as far as homework, I mean, I've done Okay, so I really don't know where to start. Like,
what would you like to work on in your life? Like, let's say, what? I mean, you have 20 things there, so pick one.
I don't know. It's just like a big fog. Like right now, my eyes are foggy and it's unclear.
Pay attention to what I'm saying, please. Business, relationship, people, what? Pick one.
Business.
Okay, business. Now, in business, what is the external issue that you have noticed habitually happening?
I work, and I don't get to the next level.
Okay. So now, if we look at emotion you have about that, what would that be? You get angry.
I don't know.
Right?
Yes.
What else?
Yeah. I work harder.
No, that's an action, but you get angry, and then you also what?
I project that on other people.
Okay, you project the judgment onto them. Okay, so what's the thinking that goes with that?
That I'm not worthy?
Well, I don't think you're necessarily thinking that. What's your everyday actual thinking? They are bad. Somebody else didn't do something right. Why is it not working? Like, those probably the thoughts, right?
Well, I mean, typically it's more I want to be where they're at.
Okay, comparison. Awesome. So now let's look at the belief. What would you have to believe about reality for this to be your reaction?
That something's wrong with me, or that I'm not, I don't know.
Well, that's interesting, because it kind of goes into that they can do it, but I can't, right? So that it's either something is wrong with me because they seem to be able to do it and I can't, or what else can it be?
I mean, the biggest thing as I see is I put in a lot of effort, and a lot of the other people that are successful put little effort. Mm-hmm. And that, I'm seeing how much I'm putting in to trying to create a better life. And I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So then this is good. This is all in there. And there's a resentment, by the way, there. Recognize that emotion? Uh-huh. So now if we go to the identity, who are you being here that's creating that belief? You're doing fine. So who are you being?
I don't know.
Identity start with I am. So I am what? You mentioned working hard.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm a hard worker?
I am.
Uh-huh. And then the belief that came out of that is, and if you work hard, you should get results.
Correct.
Uh-huh. And I'm working hard, I'm not getting results, so then there must be something wrong with me. That's the thinking pattern. And then
back to the self-love.
Frustrated and angry. The issue is that you believe you have to work hard. You mentioned that how come others do it and they do it with not working so hard? That's because they don't believe they have to work hard. Remember, universe always gives us whatever it is that we ask of it. If we say, I want to get paid and I have to work hard to do that, universe will give us ways to work hard for us to get paid a little, because we believe that. There's usually some love component wrapped up in there as well. But when we get to the next components, when it's more about money and stuff, you'll see more of that component in there, the working hard part. But do you see how that chain works here? Do you see how your reality is created? Reality is perception. You get what perception is, Dusty? How you see something?
How you see, I don't know, I'm frustrated.
Well, I'm asking you to focus, and that's hard. But at the same time, that's actually the point here, that when you perceive something, that means you're seeing it your way. That doesn't make it certain way. It makes you see it certain way. So all this thing we're figuring out is how we perceive something. And if we change how we perceive it, it also looks different. Like, for example, somebody else can look at your life and say it's a charmed life. You got family, got kids, you have nice house, you have job that you created from scratch yourself that you like, you're cool, you dress interesting, you got your car with the flames on it and whatever. Like, somebody can look at that and say, wow, I wish I was him. But you're the one on the inside of that saying, I'm not what I need to be. So that's what I mean by perception. And as far as making it easier versus making it harder, a lot of it has to do with what we believe supposed to happen in order for something to happen. So hopefully I answered your question to some extent. And when we go into the, you know, further along the course, you'll see some components of that. But do you get sort of what we're doing, like you mentioned, in the language you weren't understanding? So do you see how that is put together?
Yes.
Yeah.
Slowly.
I know you're more emotional, so you need to feel it instead of think it. But one thing I see with you is that when you have to focus, whatever you got conditioned with, that there's one right answer and you have to know it. And if you in that moment don't know it, then you check out. You say like, oh, yes, that's like, it's bad. I can't not know. So then I really just leave. But if you leave, then you don't get to know. So in order to know, you actually have to focus, and you're totally capable of doing it. It just, your way might be different. You know, your brain works differently. Like my brain works differently. I'm sure everybody here, we're not all normal people here. We all have brains that work not in a traditional sense. Like, for example, for me, I don't get information from audio. So if somebody is just giving me audio to listen to, I would have no idea what's going on. Any course I've ever taken, I had transcribed the entire course, because unless it's in print and written something, I won't get it. If somebody is literally in front of me, video, I get it. But just audio, that part of my brain just doesn't translate to language at all. So I had to figure out how to deal with that. Somebody could be dyslexic. I think you are, right? You have that as well. Like anytime that the brain perceives something differently, we have to create a workaround. That does not mean that we can't. It just means we have to do something differently, right? Like for you, I think it's the written stuff that doesn't work, right? You have to do it through audio or video. Yeah. So that's an opposite of how my brain works. And we all, I'm sure, here have something different. None of those things mean that we're somehow less than. It just means we have come into this lifetime activating some other part of our brain, and that took priority. So some other component maybe didn't make it to a certain extent, and there was a redirect. Redirect does not mean you cannot do it. It just means you need to know yourself to find your way of how you can do it. Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So I'm willing to do one more person if somebody wants to wave at me. I'm watching any hands here. Seeing if somebody, one more person, Margie. Okay, you're the last one. Congratulations, you made it. Yes, you're on stage.
That was not a good thing to say to me. No, I'm kidding.
I know, I'm poking at you for that very reason. I know that that's scary. Don't worry, you're awesome.
Of course, I'm not sure where I'm going to go with this, but I'm looking and watching myself tonight, and I know that I've made huge strides in my confidence. And even in the last week, like I'm always changing. I'm more self-responsible, more self-accountable. And I find myself again tonight in this group in overwhelm. So I'm thinking that it's my connector. I kept thinking that it was my maverick and my romantic, the need for approval and the need to be acknowledged that were going to be my, you know, sticking points. But I'm, you know, do I get in my overwhelm and then start to think too much? I mean, I'm trying to figure out why I am committed to falling back into here again.
Okay, this is a great point to bring up because a lot of people have that one. Mm-hmm. This is a good one to teach from, actually. Overwhelm is not, I'm not smart. Overwhelm is some story about what will happen if. So the reason we go into overwhelm is not because we literally like can't track the details. I mean, sometimes it happens, but that's probably like 1%. If you're literally juggling five balls already and somebody adds the fifth one, yeah, sure, you probably will be an overwhelm. But that's more like circumstantial overwhelm. That's very rare. That's like 1%. All the rest of overwhelm is emotional, which, Margie, that's obviously not a circumstantial overwhelm. So that means emotionally there is a story that says, if I, then something. So let's say if the root cause is somebody told, let's say a long time ago, I'm not smart, then it will be, if I pay attention to details, I will not be able to understand, and then I will prove to myself that I'm not smart, and then it will hurt the same way as it hurt when I was five. Mm. Somebody told me that I'm not smart. Or some other thing could be sending a person into overwhelm. Let's say if I am seen, like paid attention to, focal point, let's say speak up or something, then I will be obliterated or somehow hurt or laughed at or humiliated, whatever happened in a childhood. And that means I can't. So the overwhelm then becomes a smokescreen for that. So overwhelm is never a thing in itself. And I want you all to get that because, I mean, any one of you who go into overwhelm, just know it's never a thing. It's always a defense of something else. And if we don't fix the something else part, overwhelm will just keep happening. Okay? Overwhelm itself is not a thing. It's a kind of a smoke screen to keep us safe. And what we are keeping safe, that's depending on each person's particular issue that caused it, right? So I named two more traditional things for overwhelm. One would be I'm not smart. Another one is I'm seen. But there are other things of what you can link with the overwhelm. Like, for example, I have to be perfect. And if I'm looking at something and I'm not being perfectly able to grasp each portion, you know, like it's the type of person who wants to give 100% to every task they do, forgetting that they don't have 1,000%, they only have 100, but they're trying to do the 100 to every single thing. Another thing would be control. Somebody who's safe by being in control, if a lot of things happening, they might feel like I'm not in control, and then that would create an overwhelm. Another thing could be, and I know I'm not going to you directly, Margie, I'm talking about the bigger thing, I'll come back to you. Okay. Yeah, it's okay, breathe, you're good. So the other thing could be besides the control, I just had that, something else, like there's so many different ways of how overwhelm can be triggered, but it's always a reaction and a self-defense mechanism. Sometimes overwhelm could be a form of hiding. Sometimes it could be the form of avoidance of control even. You know, like let's say if I pay attention, I would have to be in control. And if I'm in control, then I'm not safe because somebody controlled me before and I don't want to be a bad person or something. So, I mean, there's so many different stories. So obviously it's our own job to figure out what our overwhelm is triggered by. So then you can then dig in to figure out what is the actual cause. So for you, Margie, when you look at your overwhelm, what do you find is your cause?
I think in this moment or this week, it was being seen.
I think it's a little bit deeper than that. I think it would definitely wrap around you seeing you.
Yeah.
So the being seen here is not quite the external. It's more of you seeing you. There is a part of you the identity, like you said, what am I so committed to? So I'll answer that question. Your identity there was triggered by, if I have power, then I'm in danger. So I cannot have power or I will be in danger. So that's the negative commitment of the lower self there. Because the more work you do, the more you're unearthing your power. Mm-hmm. You know, and your power is a good power. It's not a power over anybody. You're not going to be an abuser. It's a power in a sense that's harmonious. It's an inner hero. But whatever the wound was formed around, that was a negative power. So then somehow the personality connected, oh, no, no, power is a bad thing. If I have the power, bad things happen. If I'm seen as powerful, oh, definitely bad things happen. And the rest is a story. So that's where the hook is, because every time you're cleaning up the layers, you're showing up more and more powerful, which means you're seeing your own power. And then you get scared and your lower self says, no, 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 we can't know that we're powerful. Let's just be confused. So then the overwhelm happened as a solution. That's the lower self presenting to you as keeping you safe. So in a situation like that, I would say be kind to yourself. You know, when overwhelm happens, don't just yell at yourself about, oh, I shouldn't be, why can't I, you know, instead just go, okay, overwhelm here. So that means pause. But pause for 60 seconds, not a day. Just pause. Okay. So for 60 seconds, you just close your eyes, tune in, breathe, whatever, turn sound off on whatever you were listening or pause the recording or something and just hang, just be okay. Then go on. And that way we kind of like train ourselves to do it. So being kind to yourself, it's kind of like if the child is freaking out, you don't want to force the kid to do something, right? That never works. That's actually kind of abusive. But you also don't want to let the child have their way, because if, you know, you're an adult that knows that that's not harmonious, you don't want to keep the child, accommodating the child doing something that he or she should not be. Instead, we want to kind of work with the child, but not to the extent that, oh, my job is to just keep you safe. It's like parents, right? Our job is not to be necessarily our child's friend. It's to be our child's guide, right? So when we try to be too much friend, we accommodate our own lower self, inner child, and then we perpetuate the negative behavior. So not to say, Margie, that that's what you're doing. I'm just teaching all that part. But so did I answer your question there?
I think, yeah. I think more than anything, I just need to say it out loud so that I don't leave this call in that space. So
yeah, and that's very good. And that's, you are seen. And mm-hmm. you are seen by you as like, this is a moment you're being in your power. Mm-hmm. You're not overriding anybody. You're not being in danger. You're just holding that you're you. Mm-hmm. And all of us are holding you as, okay, this is Margie. Yeah. That's
Thank
all.
You. That's all?
That's all. That's actually all. The lower self makes it up into something else, but that's all. It's a tolerance of volume or voltage. And we have to train ourselves to hold the voltage. Power is voltage. It's not all the stories humans make about it. Power is simply voltage. Like, I have a lot of power, not because I'm like some person that's like power over others, but, you know, I have voltage. I have a lot of it. So when you have more charge going through you, you have more power. And the more spiritually in alignment we are, the more we're gonna have the charge, right? So higher voltage going to trigger the hell out of everybody. That's just how humans are, because they don't want the voltage. They want to be the sheep. So that's why we all have this wound about, oh my God, I show up as powerful and then the mob will come and kill me. It's not gonna happen in a 21st century. We're not living in a place where somebody's literally gonna kill you or stone you or whatever, but it did happen before. So there's some wounding from that. But we have to tell ourselves that, okay, that's a story that's not currently happening, and all that's currently happening is I'm holding more voltage. Yep.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Again.
You're welcome. All right, well, now I'm going to find how to unmute you all. There you are. All right, you're all unmuted. So awesome. I'm so happy we got to do this. I think you figured it out. It's again 2 hours, but I guess I just can't seem to be shorter. So you all getting
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Eugenia.
Thank you, everyone.
Good
job.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, man.
Excellent.